Appreciate the prayer that's been offered. It's amazing how as soon as you end the prayer request and go to something else, other names come to mind. I won't take time now, but maybe I can remember them at the close of the service. I do ask an interest in your prayers this morning. I appreciate so much these brethren that share the time with me from time to time, but I've got a subject that I just want to take some time with this morning. So I pray for your prayers that the Lord would bless this message for his glory, but also for our edification. You know, the world we're living in today is kind of different. There's some changes that have been taking place, and I don't want to get political, but this past president we had, regardless of how you feel about him, he was one of the best friends to Christians that we've had in a long time. And so we don't have that now. Now, God is able. He doeth his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? So we have that confidence. But we might be challenged in some of the expressions of our faith in the days ahead. And I pray that the Lord will bless this message this morning, a part of what we have recorded in the Word of God that was to comfort and encourage somebody else, that can flow down to us this morning. I've turned to 2 Timothy, by the way. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'll read my text in just a moment. But just because this is a pastoral epistle, just because it's something Paul wrote to Timothy, doesn't mean it doesn't apply to us. It simply means that Timothy was to be careful to make sure that these are the things that he needed to preach and practice. And so whatever was good for Timothy to preach and practice is good for us to hear and put into practice in our lives. All right? Now, hope you found 2 Timothy chapter 1 by now. I want to start just by reading verse 12. Verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, I jumped into the middle of this chapter, so we need to give some setting here. The Apostle Paul had been in prison once before. But when he was there, as you can read in Acts chapter 28, it was a house arrest. And people could freely come and go and visit Paul. And as I understand it, that's when Paul wrote 1 Timothy and the book of Titus, while he was there. It's interesting, those prison epistles that we have in the New Testament that Paul wrote, I tell you, they're some of the sweetest we have. Now, all the Word of God is good, but not one time do we find the Apostle Paul complaining or saying, woe is me, when he's writing these prison epistles. He's ministering to God's people and attesting to the fact that God can take care of us no matter what condition we're in. So, how wonderful that the Apostle Paul was blessed to minister to us in such a way, even while he was imprisoned by men. Because the gospel is not bound. And so if we are facing times where things are changing, and if we're being have the possibility that our faith and the exercise of our faith might be infringed somehow, then I think it's good for us to think about it ahead of time. I think it's good for us to settle in our hearts that we're going to trust God. We may have to do some things. I don't know. But we're going to trust God. You know, just like Daniel. Remember? Daniel chapter 1. Daniel wasn't confronted with having to eat the king's meat and the king's wine, or drink the king's wine, And he didn't wait until then to think about, now, what am I going to do? You know, some people kind of live in the moment, don't they? They don't think about ahead. They don't think about, they just, whatever comes, they're reactionary, I guess, reacting to life. But serving God, we need to be proactive. We need to think about, we need to be mindful of the times. We need to think about our day. We need to think about things that we're regularly confronted with and make sure that we try the best we can to put ourselves in positions that we can please God. If there's something in our life that is a regular hindrance, maybe we can avoid it. Maybe we can do something different. You know, whatever the case might be, we need to be praying to God to give us wisdom so that we can live each day in a way that we're honoring the Lord. And if we see that there might be some limitations put upon us in the future, we need to settle in our heart that we want to remain faithful to God. All right? So Paul's in prison. And this time, whereas the first time he could freely have guests come and go, and he continued to minister to others in that capacity, this time Paul's in a prison. Evidently he's got a chain attached to him. Evidently it's cold. You know what we think of when we think of a dungeon, cold and dark. The reason we think it was cold is because Paul asked Timothy, when he comes, bring my cloak, the cloak that I left with you at Troas. Bring with you. Bring my coat, Timothy. It's cold in here. This faithful brother, chained and cold and in prison, and in what we find here in 2 Timothy, there's no hope that he expresses that he's going to be released alive. This is the last writings of the Apostle Paul. Do you ever stop and think about just how much of the New Testament the Apostle Paul has written for us? That God used this man. That God used a man that at one time in his life, nobody on the planet would have thought that he would have been one that would be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He even said of himself that he was the chief of sinners. And my persuasion of why he said or described himself as that was because he had done more than anybody else alive in his day to try to destroy the church. So this man now is in prison, cold and dark. But that's when he writes 2 Timothy. All right? And it's 5 or 6 years later, now Nero is the emperor of Rome, Nero Caesar. I don't know if you know any history about Nero, but he was a vicious ruler. And he was vicious toward Christians. And the persecution against Christians was terrible. You know, when this subject got on my mind, I pulled down my Fox's Book of Martyrs and kind of refreshed my mind a little bit about how Nero treated the Christians. And if you haven't read any, that is awful. And I'd encourage you sometime to check it out. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Now, maybe the one I've got might be the more politically correct version. I don't know. It's not one of the original. I hear that the original one was pretty even more plain than the one I've got. But I mean, just to give you a taste, I mean, one thing that I read was that Nero would have Christians wrapped to a stake and take that tall pole and plant it in his yard, and they would smear pitch all over them and light it. And Nero called them his torches. And he would sit on his balcony with some others and watch the Christians burn on those poles. That's just one thing. And I think this level of persecution here is very relevant to what Paul is telling Timothy here. This is why Paul was trying to encourage Timothy to be faithful, because there was such intense persecution that he was going to be facing. All right? So other reasons that we find in the book of 2 Timothy why Paul would be encouraging Timothy is because several of those that Paul had been preaching to and teaching and were fellows with him in the ministry had abandoned Paul. You know, that's discouraging, isn't it? Every time we hear of someone who had been a defender of the faith and he's turned aside to the things of this world and no longer preaching the gospel, that's hard to take, isn't it? It's discouraging to us. And so Paul lists some of that over in, in chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." And he goes on listing some names. Over in chapter 4, verse 9, he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." Now, I take it from the way this is worded that each of these, even though he doesn't repeat the words each time, each of these follow the same pattern of having departed from Paul. Okay? We don't have any record of what happened, or at least I'm not aware. Maybe some of church history somewhere tells us something about what happened to Titus. But I know we've got a 1st and 2nd Timothy, but we don't have a 1st and 2nd Titus. So Paul had many turn away, and some of them loved this present world, and so had forsaken the good and the right way. And Paul is writing to Timothy, encouraging him earlier in the chapter, in verse 8, he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel." Why was Paul in prison? For preaching the glorious gospel and being faithful to God. That's why he was in prison. That's why he was chained. That's why he couldn't go freely, because men had put limitations upon him, even though God was still using Paul in writing these, the books of the Bible, and preaching the word. Bless your hearts. He was suffering affliction for the sake of being faithful to God. And so Paul's writing to Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Earlier he had said, "God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Timothy, don't be fearful. Don't be ashamed. What if? Just what if? What if things change drastically in our country and openly worshiping our God becomes something that we'd have to suffer for? Would we still come to church? Would we still want to be faithful to God? He's worthy of it. Some of our brethren in the past have suffered tremendously. And so here's a book, 2 Timothy. Here's a book that's written for our encouragement in a time when there was going to be severe persecution of God's people, and it's exhorting us to be faithful. Now, I know that was Paul writing to Timothy, but listen, Paul's not coming out of prison. Paul's going to be executed. All the apostles of the Lord, except for John, died of violent causes. All right? What about us? We've had it so good. We've had it so good. I'm afraid we've kind of gotten lax about it. But God hasn't changed. He's just as worthy. He is just as good. He's just as loving. He's just as merciful. He's just as kind. And he is just as powerful as he ever has been. And he always will be. And we've got one we can trust to take care of us no matter what. So Paul was in that prison for being faithful to God and preaching the glorious gospel of Christ. Don't we feed upon that glorious gospel? Don't we feed upon the fact that though we're sinners, God had mercy upon us and gave us his grace by giving us the greatest expression of that, the greatest expression of his love, the greatest expression of his grace, the greatest expression of his mercy is when he provided for his son to come into this world to save his people from their sins. And not only did he go to the cross, and not only did he die and shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins, he rose again the third day. Death could not hold him. Bless your hearts, the glorious doctrine of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your heart. That's what turned the world upside down in the days of the apostles, and that's still what can turn the world upside down today. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Oh, we want to hold on to that glorious truth, don't we? We want to be the ones that share that glorious message with others. So Paul was in prison for it. And he's writing to Timothy, telling him, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. God is not the one. I don't know. We're to fear God in the way of reverence and respect. We're to fear him above all else. There's also the idea that we should fear that we not fall into the hand of the living God because of his chastisement. But God tells us, fear not. Oftentimes in his word, you'll find that expression, fear not. So he's telling Timothy, God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All right? So, for fear of persecution and affliction, many had turned away from the Apostle Paul. By the inspiration of the Spirit, Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him to be faithful. Be faithful. You know, a long time ago, at least 20 years ago, in a conversation with Brother Michael Goins, you know, he made the point that somebody else had shared with him that God hasn't called us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful. He'll take care of what he wants to do. We just need to be faithful. And isn't he wonderful? Isn't he merciful? Isn't he kind? Isn't the goodness of God such a powerful thing that every day he continues to show us his goodness? Every day we're being kept by his power. Every day we can be, our hope can be renewed in him because we know that we are preserved in Christ Jesus, and that no matter what happens to us in this life, heaven will be our home to enjoy with him forevermore. So we need to be faithful. That's what he's called upon us to do. All right? And so this is encouraging to Timothy, and Timothy's to take it to encourage others. All right? Fear not. Be not ashamed. So beyond the fact that he doesn't need to be fearing, and by the way, let me just throw this in. Anytime somebody keeps telling you something to make you afraid, they've got an agenda. They're wanting to control you. So when somebody keeps telling you something to make you afraid, that ought to be a clue. God tells us to fear not, because our trust is in him, and he's able to take care of us. All right? So he's telling Timothy not to be afraid, and beyond not being afraid, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and don't be afraid of those that preach it. Don't be afraid of those that, I'm sorry, don't be afraid to be associated with those that live it. Isn't that the one of the greatest blessings that we have in this life, is to be among brethren, to be among those who love God, that share the same joys and the hopes that we have? What a blessing that is, that God's given us the church. What a blessing that we have a refuge from this world, that we can come aside and hear the gospel proclaimed of our safety and salvation through the blood of Jesus. All right? So Paul is encouraging him. Now let's come back to our text. Now that we've got some setting here about what's going on, that Paul would write to Timothy about these things, Paul says, For the which cause I also suffer these things. For the which cause I also suffer these things. And Paul has just said he was called to preach the gospel and to be faithful to God. To be he speaks of the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause. In other words, he's suffering what he's suffering because of preaching the gospel and being faithful to God. All right? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. You know, that's why I say we need to settle in our heart that we want to be faithful to God even if we meet with opposition in this life. Okay? I don't hear of anybody's house being raided because they're having a Bible study, anything like that. But there's some subtle things that's going on that's denying the Word of God and the teachings of God's Word. In the past, I haven't heard of much of it lately, but in the past I've heard of some things being passed by local cities, towns, things like that, that were defining some things as hate speech that are the truth of God's Word. We have some of that in the world. Are we going to continue to preach all the counsel of God, teach God's Word? Or are we going to bow to men? You know, we need to settle in our heart that we're going to be faithful to God and asking Him, because we can't stand in the power of our might. We need the power of God's might. And in order to have that, we need to be faithful to Him, following Him, trusting Him, living according to His Word. Then we have His power on our side. All right? So Paul's writing to Timothy about these things. And he says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Paul's telling Timothy, I'm not ashamed of it. I don't want you to be ashamed of it. And I'm sure Timothy took that message and preached it to the congregation at Ephesus and other places where he would preach the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, or those that preach it and those that live it. I'm kind of extending it to our day by talking about those that live it. Bless your hearts. That's our family in this world. God's people. The family of God. What a blessing we have that we've got each other. So, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, Paul said. Now, let me give you something else that would be a reason that Paul had to not be ashamed. If you remember over in Acts chapter 18, I believe it was, let me turn there. Acts chapter 18. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul went to Corinth for the first time? Let me get to Acts chapter 18. When Paul went to Corinth the first time, he met with some opposition. I'm sure it would have been very easy for him to just find somewhere else to preach. But he met with such opposition, but the Lord appeared to him. Acts chapter 18, let's see, verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. And here's what the Lord told Paul when he had met opposition strong opposition at Corinth. The Lord told him, be not afraid. I'll have to do a search sometime and find out just how many times the Lord has told his people, be not afraid. Fear not. Okay? If he's with us, as he's come on the scene, if he's with us, then who can be against us, right? Okay, because he's got all power. So he says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Sounds like to me the Lord saying, don't be ashamed of this message. Don't be ashamed to own my name before men. Okay? The Lord goes on to tell him why he's to be preaching the gospel and being faithful in Corinth. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. That's why Paul had no reason to be ashamed. That's why Paul had no reason to be fearful. The Lord said, I'm with you. And so, Paul is sharing that experience with Timothy. That's what the Lord told me. And by the way, you remember, that was in Acts. That was when Paul first came to Corinth. You remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12? A very comforting verse there where the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh and he besought the Lord three times to remove it. Do you remember what the Lord told him? My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm sure Paul felt weak when he met with such opposition over in Corinth when he was first there. But the Lord appeared to him. The Lord told him to fear not. The Lord said, I am with you, and no man shall hurt you. Boy, that would be encouraging, wouldn't it? That would be encouraging for the Lord to tell you that. You could stand before anybody if the Lord told you that, couldn't he? Well, bless your hearts. I believe that truth applies to us today. I believe that truth applies to us, that the Lord will be with us when we're faithful to him. I'm not saying you won't ever have any trouble. I'm not saying you won't ever be persecuted or have to endure something. But what I'm saying is the Lord will be with you. And he is able to keep us. Whatever his will is, as long as we're submissive to his will. And bless your hearts, that's the best place we can be. Trusting in the Lord. All right? So, during this time and after this time, Nero Caesar, was going to be persecuting Christians terribly. Spirit gave Paul this message to encourage Timothy because God knew what was ahead. God knew what he was going to face. God knew what environment Timothy was going to be in. And so the Spirit led Paul to write this encouragement to him. And in that persecution, just like I mentioned some verses earlier, a lot of people were going to turn away and not follow in that good and right way. What if we face persecution today? Do you think that's a possibility that some might turn and not be faithful to God? Would it be us? Is God not able to keep us? You know, if our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, then even if they were to snuff out our life, even if they were to strap us to a pole and set fire to us, heaven would soon be our home. God is worthy of our faithfulness, no matter what we have to face in this life. And so the Spirit knew and impressed Paul to write these things to Timothy, knowing that there would be some that would be turning away. to encourage Timothy to be faithful, to exhort Timothy to be faithful to his calling, to preach the truth of the gospel, to continue to follow and preach the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because let me ask you a question. You know, I never thought about it until recently. Well, I guess maybe it crossed my mind. But in this particular setting, and in this particular message that's being given to Timothy, let me ask you a question. I realize this is just asking you to think about what it might be. But think about what would happen. What would have happened? You know, Paul, I told you, a great deal of the New Testament, God used the Apostle Paul to write it. And just think about the impact of the ministry for the glory of God of Paul. Paul is soon going to be beheaded in Rome. What if Timothy turns aside? What if Timothy saw what happened to Paul and said, I quit? Now, God could raise up others to preach the gospel. And it's just speculation as to try to say what God would do. But I'm just telling you, think about what the church was facing in that day. Paul, who had such an impact. As a matter of fact, Nero had both Paul and Peter executed. Peter, the bold one, the one that was somewhat of a leader among the apostles, was executed by Nero. Paul was executed by Nero. What if Timothy didn't remain faithful? I'm sure there's lots of writings. The only one I found mentioned that Timothy was faithful. That in Ephesus there was some celebration going on, and he tried to rebuke some of them for the ungodly behavior that was going on, and they beat him to death with sticks. That's the only account that I found. But Timothy, to the end, was faithful. After preaching many years at Ephesus and other places where the Lord used him. But just think about it. The Spirit impressed Paul. Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him to be faithful because of what was coming ahead. You know, Peter also in 1 Peter chapter 4, I believe it is. Peter also wrote about this. Maybe in connection with what I've said here already, maybe this will make more maybe it'll have a greater impact, is what I'm trying to say. It can't make any more sense than it does, but a greater impact. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says this in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, which is to try you. You know, I mentioned Nero had Peter executed. Now, if I understand it right, he was crucified upside down. I think that's fairly reliable. But Nero was the one behind it. Okay? So Peter, before that happened, Peter is also giving the same kind of message. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. Now here's the message. You know, he encouraged us not to be fearful, not to think it strange. But here's how we should respond to the trials, no matter what the nature of them are. Here's how we should respond. He says, but rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Remember he said that to those on the road to Emmaus? When we think about the warnings, when we think about the admonition that we have in Scripture to remain faithful, we have plenty of Scripture to encourage us to be just that. He says, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And then he goes on talking about how we should respond in the way of reproach. But what I want to get to is down in verse 19. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. If our suffering, if our persecution, if any trials that we're facing are because we're in the will of God and wanting to be faithful to God, this instruction's for you. He says, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. God is faithful to us. Jesus suffered tremendously to redeem us from our sins. So what if we have to suffer for some things being faithful to him? When we do that, we're in fellowship with his sufferings. All right? So, getting back to our text, nevertheless, Paul said, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Who are we trusting in today? We're trusting in the one who has all power, both in heaven and in earth. We're trusting in the one that has shown us his love by sending his son to this world. The greatest expression of the love of God is in his son. God so loved the world of his people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What God has done for us. Oh, bless your hearts. Let's be faithful to him. Let's settle in our hearts ahead of time, just like Daniel did, that we would not defile ourselves. Okay? But we want to be faithful to God. All right? So Paul says, I know whom I believed. The Lord appeared to him in Corinth when he had met with stiff opposition. The Lord said, no man's going to hurt you. I'm with you to deliver you. What a blessing. Bless your hearts, we find that the Lord told us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Isn't that encouraging to us today? Okay? Now I hope that we never face that kind of persecution. I hope we never have to deal with that. But I think it would be good for us to consider in our hearts what we're going to do. Now we don't know, we're just speculating. But we can prepare ourselves. We can keep our hearts prepared. We can commit ourselves to being faithful to God. So Paul, the Lord appeared to him in Corinth when he was first there. And even later on there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, as we mentioned a while ago. And by the way, I quit reading there. And I want to get that. Because after, all right, the Lord appeared to him there in Acts 18, told him, fear not, in essence. Later on, after much affliction and after being faithful to God and suffering so much in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, Paul says this, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When we realize that we're weak and we need the Lord, that's when his power rests upon us. As long as we think we've got some strength, as long as we think we can handle the situation, we don't know, we don't feel, we don't have that power that we need. So Paul says, therefore, I take pleasure in reproaches, I'm sorry, in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. Can't you just hear the many things that Paul had endured being faithful to God? In persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. And that's the key right there. The reason that Paul could take pleasure in these things is because he did those things for Christ's sake, and Christ delivered him. God gave him what he needed. You know, there was times when Paul thought he was a goner. He despaired of life. But God delivered him. God delivered him. All right? So he concludes that verse by saying, for when I am weak, then am I strong. For us to be able to be faithful, we need to stand in the power of his might. That's what we're going to have. If we're facing such situations, such persecution or whatever that they faced in that day, the only help that we can have will be the power of his might. And he's worthy of it. He's already shown us his great worthiness. So when Paul says, for I know whom I have believed, in essence, what he's telling Timothy is, you've got the same one that can deliver you from whatever you're going to face. God is able to do it. All right? So Paul says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep. Is God able? Amen. Yes, he is. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Right? He knows far more than we do. We know very little. God is able. And that's what we need to remember. We're not. And oftentimes when we're fearful, it's because we're trying to figure it out ourselves. We're trying to find the solution ourselves. We're trying to do something ourselves. But when we say, Lord, I need your help. I'm not able to face what this is. That's when we humble ourselves before God and seek his help. That's when he's pleased to manifest himself to us. And Paul spoke about the power of Christ resting upon him. And no doubt there were times. Remember, Paul was stoned one time, left for dead. The power of Christ rested upon him and revived him. He was in shipwreck and in the deep, and he was beaten with stripes. And no doubt, those times when he was beaten with stripes, you know, they weren't just tapping. That had to be tremendous suffering that he endured. But the power of Christ rested upon him because he was being faithful to God. And so that's all that's required of us, is to be faithful, to look to him, realizing we don't have the strength of ourselves. So he said, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep us. Able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What day? Whatever day we meet with persecution. Whatever day that we're tempted to turn away from the things of God. That day, whatever that day is, whatever the heat of that day is, bless your hearts, we want to commit the keeping of our souls to him that judges righteously. We want to be like Paul, who said, I've committed unto him, you know, he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Have we committed our life to being faithful to God? That's what Paul's speaking of. He was committed to being faithful to God. That's what Daniel wanted to do. He committed himself to be faithful to God. And we don't have the words, but we have the evidence that it looks like that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had committed themselves to being faithful to God. They wouldn't do what the king asked. They trusted God. They knew that God was able to deliver them. So So bless your hearts, Paul, in encouraging Timothy, is telling him he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And so when we think about that commitment that Paul had of being faithful to God, there's some other verses that comes to mind. Remember Galatians 2, verse 20? Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Christ died for us. Bless your hearts. That's our hope. Our hope is that when Christ died, we died in him. Never, he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Don't you love that verse? The one who loved us, he said, crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. All right? And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. Brethren, you couldn't ask for anything more. The very Son of God, the very one who was sinless, who was holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners, the only one whose blood was capable of purging our sins, paying our sin debt, he went to a cross and gave his life that we might live in him. Now, he gave that life, but 3 days later he arose, didn't he? And as Revelation tells us, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Bless your hearts, he now liveth for us, and we live for him. May God help us to remember. That's what Paul had committed. That's what God was able to keep him in. And we need to realize, we need to commit our lives to being faithful to him. You know, that's not so that we can be saved for heaven. That's so that we can be saved now. That's so that we can be saved from this untoward generation. That's so we can be saved from the things that go on in life that would draw us away from the Lord. May God help us to remember what Paul said. Remember, let me read this verse again, and then we'll close. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Will we face persecution? I don't know. Does it look like the possibility exists? Yes. Will we be faithful? You know, the Apostle Paul had preached to many, and as we read to you some of those verses, they were those that had turned aside to the things of this world and left off being faithful to God. I pray that this will sink down in your ears and find a lodging place in your heart. I pray that you'll be stirred with these truths that the Spirit impressed Paul to write about the reality of what was going to be faced by God's people in that day. Paul wrote those things. Timothy took those things. Timothy was faithful to those things. And evidently somebody down through the ages of time have been faithful to keep those truths, and that's why we have a church here today. Obviously by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the love of God, by the mercy of God, but somebody was living these truths and committing their life to the truth. We may be facing some dark times. I don't know. But I see the possibility of it. And I know that God loves us. He's able to keep us, and he calls us to remain faithful to him. Remember, Jesus asked the question on one occasion, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he? Well, he's the one that gives it. He ought to know, but he's asking the question for us to consider. He's asking the question for us to lay to heart. I believe he will have a witness in this earth when he comes again. But will it be at Piney Grove? Will it be in the state of Alabama? Will it be in our homes? Where will it be? You know, I'm speculating here. I want to be careful to let you know that. If Daniel hadn't been faithful to God in that day, there might have been somebody else that stood up to be faithful to God. God's going to do his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? But let's be one. Let's be one where if the Lord comes again in our lifetime, he'll find faith being exhibited by us. I said exhibited. You know, James says faith without works is dead. We need to be letting that light shine. We need to be living the kind of life that shows the love of God in our heart, showing it to others, being faithful to him, keeping his word, committing ourselves to living in a way that will be pleasing in his sight. That's what we want. That's what this message was all about. Be faithful. He hadn't called us to be successful. He just calls us to be faithful. He'll take care of whatever he's pleased to do. You know, if we give him all the glory, he's generous with his grace, but he's stingy with his glory. If we try to start taking credit for something that was something God did, then that's not right. God's not pleased with that. But if we're faithful to him, if we're trusting him, if we're following him, if we're looking to him for the strength and the wisdom and the protection that we need, he is well able to supply it. So may God help us to remember that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We don't know what day we're facing, but God does. And he's able to keep us. Let's be faithful. May God bless you, as our prayer.